dovetails nicely with my introduction for our final speaker. You guys will never guess who it is. So, Mark, I don't remember if we recorded in October and released it in September or if we recorded it in September. I think we recorded in September the first Your Stories episode that you were on, September 2012. The theme was home. We recorded in September. The theme was home. And Mark told a story about how much he hates his hometown. And I gave Mark a horrible introduction because I had only really heard of Mark, like, I think Kevin Reeder was like, hey, Mark Coulomb is here. He hosts the show Poor Choices. And I only knew what that was because Claire was such a fan. I'm like, oh, that sounds sweet. Like, this guy's cool. So I think I introduced him with something like, and this is someone who hosts a show that you should listen to. And he seemed like a cool guy, Mark Coulomb. But you know what? I was right on both counts. Mark has been a fantastic, not just a person who supports the group, but who really, and I think Sean Kelly can speak to this, I think anyone who does creative things in this room can, he teaches us all what it means to support and to be a fan of something and to work towards something. I've learned more from Mark about us being all in it together than literally anyone else, and he also has really solid opinions on, like, rock and roll. Van Halen 2, best Van Halen album, obviously. Like, if you don't think that, get the fuck out. But anyway, it is my great pleasure to introduce, possibly for the last time at this stage, but hopefully not for the last time ever, Mr. Mark Coulomb.
I didn't get a good education, so it's either Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer that sees their own funeral. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, so I'm going to fall through the ceiling. Thank you guys so much, everybody that talked, and everybody that's here, and the Nerdalogs, and Kevin, and Cards, and, like, all of you, because all you do great stuff, and that's, I think, what Chicago's about, doing great stuff and meeting weird people that do great stuff. So thank you guys so much. Marvel doesn't need you. DC doesn't want you. The WWE does not care about you. Star Wars is going to happen whether you want it to or not. 130,000 people, only cut off because of the fire marshal, stared at a Lucite case a couple weeks ago from a prop that, from a movie that isn't coming out for 2 years. There's a reason it's called a con. Disney and Warner Brothers want your money. They want to transmutate your fandom into dollars. They're spinning gold out of your childhood. Fandom is big business now, and it'll cruise along just fine without you. Either young or old, Han Solo's whole vibe is he doesn't want your help. No fandom, your friends need you. The folks working on a board game after getting home from some shit job that they hate need you. Podcasts with 10 people and one microphone need you. Comedians that make jokes that aren't quite there really need you. Things that could use a little money but you wouldn't think to ask need you. Poorly worded Kickstarters need you. In the dark ages of the mid-80s, being part of fandom wasn't on demand. We were analog. You had to track things down from arcane sources. Import from someone's cousin in Taiwan. A channel high on an actual dial late at night in another language. Magazines in spinner racks. Cons were at Holiday Inns where, yes, Robert Downey Jr. might have shown up, but only because his dealer lived there. Today, whatever you want is right there. It's a click away. It's packaged and ready for Amazon to drone drop it on your Yorkie because you weren't home to sign. Fandom's all too easy now. We live in a world of Avengers versus Justice League versus Kramer versus Kramer. And every month, you get a $200 million spectacle tied into a Netflix original series that's part of an ongoing narrative in trade paperback form that you can get digitally on demand with a code from Mountain Dew, code blue. And they can be fun, and they would happen if you were there or not. But that shitty comic your friend draws on her lunch break about her shitty boss that takes off his shoes at work, that comic needs you. It takes your shares, your tweets, your likes, even just a text of, that thing you did today wasn't the worst. Could be enough. If everybody could kind of start humming Arms of an Angel, that'd be great. No, just fucking around, just kidding. Alright, I will cut the altruistic shit and play off your selfishness and vanity. Being a fan clearly pays off. I know from first-hand experience, I was and am Mel Evans' biggest fan. I think she's one of the best comedians I've ever seen in my life. I was a fan of my wife before I ever met her. Years ago, I nervously approached her after a show and told her how funny she was. My wife used to intimidate the shit out of me, and still does if we're talking, not in front of a crowd. Totally. The woman with who I share a life and a cat with IBS with makes me starstruck. Our first date, even if she didn't know it, was when I asked her to be on a podcast I used to host. That hour-long interview is our secret origin. Then I created a sham podcast, An Hour With Your Ex, on iTunes, and a member of the Chicago Podcast Co-op, just to get her to know her better. I clearly had crossed over to fan to someone she should have pressed charges against. But we're married now, and she isn't allowed to testify against me, I think. Point being, the single best thing in my life happened because I was a fan of someone, and I told him so. At my lowest point, and I don't mean to brag or nothing, but James Cameron couldn't deep dive to my lowest point. It was someone just letting me know that something I did mattered to them that turned me around. All the things that I make really only exist online. I love making videos and podcasts, but it's hard to know if anyone actually gives a shit. I've rarely heard anyone laugh at any joke I've ever made, mostly because they stink, but also because clicks don't laugh. It's all just numbers, and my numbers aren't the sort of things you're probably going to brag about. So when someone like a Claire Friedman tells you that some dumb podcast you made matter to her, it just means everything. So many of the people that are my friends are people that I was a fan of once, and it blows my mind what everyone's capable of. Not just what you're doing now, but what I know you're all going to do. But it's so easy to get discouraged when you're just getting started and you're doing things that really no one should care about. Fans, dude, you need them. Stop writing for Spider-Man. Let Batman brood by himself. Find small people doing small things and treat them like they're big heroes. Because they are. And it might be a fan of yours, but you won't know it unless you let them know. Now, everyone, please donate to my Kickstarter and share this on Twitter. Thanks, everybody.
Cool, and leaving us with some great words. He called it a polemic.